This week, on the 29th of April, we marked 250 years since Captain James Cook's first landing on the shores of Australia. Cook's legacy has long been discussed, but these days we are increasingly hearing the story told through Indigenous eyes. One particular account is the one of Hubble's Danayari. He told his story to ethnographer and anthropologist Deborah Bird Rose in the 1980s. He pointed out Captain Cook failed to recognize the original owners of the land, on which he disembarked so many years ago. The Wire's Aidan Mola speaks with co-director of the Australian Centre for Indigenous History at ANU, Marianne Nugent, about how Captain Cook's legacy has shifted over history and what it means in today's world.
Across the 1800s, the main sort of commemoration of him around Botany Bay was as an explorer and for his science, really. And then in 1870, there was a lot of interest in commemorating the centenary, and he began to emerge as really a sort of figure of the birth of British history in Australia. And that sort of continued through most of the 20th century. We see in the news all the time arguments about him as being a discoverer, founding father. The history of Australia begins in 1770. By 1970, with a sort of emerging national Aboriginal politics, particularly around land rights, I think his meanings begin to get reinterpreted, I think very powerfully, through Aboriginal people's own accounts of what he represents and what he means to them. And I think now we're in a really, really interesting phase 50 years later, in which we're getting some really thoroughly and I think truly Indigenous histories of Captain Cook emerging.
I read in your conversation article about how after reading Hubble's Danayari's account, you began to think differently about your research on Cook's encounters at Botany Bay. Could you tell me a little bit about this?
I was reading everything I could about Indigenous people's interpretations of Cook, including talking to local Indigenous people around Botany Bay. But when I read that account from Hobbles, I was just really, really interested about this. He sort of repeatedly says Cook should have said hello to those Sydney people. He didn't say hello. And I just thought there was something in there that unlocked the nature of those encounters back in 1770. And the thing that it really unlocked for me was this idea that here are people behaving as sovereigns, really, but Hobbles calls them bosses for the country. And the expectation would be that if you're going to go into someone's country, the first thing you do is kind of acknowledge that, recognize that. And he glosses that as saying hello. And I thought that's what's sort of been missing about national histories. People would focus on Cook stepped ashore, fired his gun, but there wasn't also a kind of statement that said, you know, he was entering into someone else's country and what should he do in respect to that. So there's been a lot of discussion, I suppose, about terra nullius and other things, but I thought we've got to really begin to, you know, really understand what does it mean to be the boss of a country.
The marketing slogan that they used for this 250th anniversary event was the view from the ship and the view from the shore. What's the significance of this slogan?
In any kind of commemorative history, the meanings come out of the present probably more so than they come out of the past. And so there have been, you know, various different ways to interpret Cook at different times over the last 250 years. We've had a kind of Cook-centered understanding of it for quite some time. We've also been, I think, through a process over the last 20 years or more to think about it through the sort of concept of a meeting, a sort of shared history, cross-cultural encounter history. The Australian historian Greg Denning popularized the notion of the beach as a place where British sailors and Indigenous people met and interacted. It was as much a kind of a place as a metaphor. Then I think there's been a little pushback against that to sort of say we've got to remember Cook as a hero. And I think there's a sort of an attempt in From the Ship and the Shore to keep two histories a bit more separate in the commemoration, as if they can be made equal in some way, parallel rather than entangled. And we can have space for Indigenous people to tell their stories and for the kind of retelling of Cook as hero, I suppose. So there's some positives and some negatives about that approach. I think it's important that we work fairly hard at thinking about what the issues are. So it's not, you know, it's not just adding more and more perspectives, but to kind of keep sort of trying to sift through why is Cook and the Endeavour still something that we talk about? Why does it occupy such a big place in the Australian imagination and public culture? Why can't we sort of ever seem to get beyond a slightly polarising view? And, I've been really taken with a lot of the Indigenous commentary. So Wesley Enoch, I think, on NITV earlier this week, Stan Grant's article, a whole lot of articulation about the importance of Indigenous people's right to explicate what the issues surrounding Cook are, as well as to give their accounts in their own words. Also an incredibly powerful thing coming out of someone like Hobbles Dunyari's epic oral histories. That was a moment in which Indigenous people's histories have become more and more prominent.
That was Marianne Nugent speaking about Hobble Dunyari's account of Captain Cook's first landing.